comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome, one and all, episode 34, Nerds United, Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. Greg Mahochko here. It has been a little while, too long, dare I say, since we last got together. I promised myself, and more importantly, I promised you that I'd try to get on a more regular schedule and try to crank out two episodes a month at least, and then I dropped the ball. Comics for Beginners was such a big project, and then life and other things get in the way. And I use that excuse or reason quite a bit, but there's some validity to it. I mean, you get busy, things pop up unexpectedly, or, you know, can't quite schedule in, some studio time when you're at the radio station of your previous employee. So that's why it's been a little while. That being said, I've got some great things in the works. We're going to try to make up for it with three episodes in the month of February, this one being the first. And we'll get another one to you next week. It has already been decided, announced, and set up, scheduled. We're going to be recording it this weekend. If you are listening to this the day it published, which is Friday the 6th, yeah, we'll go with that. Friday the 6th. We'll be recording it later today, or tonight, I should say, and it'll be publishing middle of next week. And for that one, we are going to be visiting with an author who is going the novel route. And I'm looking forward to I'll just drop the name and the premise, and we'll plug the Kickstarter while we're here as well. But the author's name is Ross Cavins. I don't know. I should know because I get asked that a lot. Mahochko. Ross will be joining me to talk about Barry versus the Apocalypse, which you can find that on Kickstarter. What I like, just what I've read about Barry versus the Apocalypse, is Barry was a superhero who, I don't know, either passed his prime or came out of retirement when he should have stayed retired. But if you see a picture of Barry from Barry versus the Apocalypse, you'll say, "Wait a minute, that looks kind of familiar. Who does that remind me of?" Kenny Powers, that's who. But we'll talk certainly with Ross about it. But what I like about Barry is I find a lot of similarities. I mean, you know, both handsome fellows with goatees and beer bellies, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But our biggest differences: Barry has super strength, and I believe super speed. We'll get the full rundown from Ross. And I have the super sleep ability, because I have slept through storms and power outages, which, you know, many people do, and alarm clocks going off for 40 minutes, and I allegedly, I slept through an earthquake, but that's purely hearsay, and I refuse to be a part of those rumors. But so I'm excited. We'll visit with Ross, and that'll be episode 35 up middle of next week. And between then and now, we've got some good things to talk about here in episode 34. I mentioned the beer belly. It is, well, it is what it is. I'm counterproductive. I'm working with some friends of mine. We're all kind of getting that healthy, you know, we're all getting older, and we're all trying to, you know, get healthier as we get older so that we can live longer and be around our wives and families much, much longer and all that good stuff. So we're all kind of doing this fitness thing together, which is cool. I mean, it's basic, you know, body weight type exercises, you know, wall sits and lunges and squats and push-ups and stuff. And I can't believe I'm saying this, and if you would have known me a year ago, you would. So that's not. I can't believe you're saying that either, Greg. I can't wait for it to warm up, like second half of March, and go forward, because I'm ready to get out and start running again. Did the Couch to 5K program last year and capped it all off, of course, with the Color Run down in Mount Vernon, the United Way Color Run 5K. But this year, I am signed up, and you can sign up too. Go to insaneinflatable5k.com. I am running in Evansville, Indiana on Saturday, June 27th. And you can join the team, the Jittery Monkey Runners. Yeah. So if you want to be a part of that, just shoot me a message on Facebook or post on the Nerds United page, or send me an email at nerdsunitedpodcast.com. Yeah, nerdsunitedpodcast@gmail.com. You can tell how often I get emails. But we'll send you the little code so you can join the team, and we'll have a lot of fun shooting for the 11 a.m. time slot, and should be a real good time. The Jittery Monkey Runners, the Insane Inflatable 5K, Evansville, Indiana, June 27th. Check that out. Check out the insaneinflatable5k.com. And you can see all the cool obstacles and things like that. It's not your traditional just flat run 5K, because those suck, quite frankly. And to those people who do those, I say kudos, and I tip my cap to you, sir or madam. Not my cup of tea. I want at least a little break, a little pause from the monotony of just running. So the fact that I'm looking forward to getting out and running again, I think I'm getting ill. And to that point, I have been experiencing some cold-like symptoms this week. And as they say, I believe they say, you starve the flu and you drown the cold. So I'm going to drown the cold in episode 34 with Widmer Brothers Brewing Alchemy Ale. It's out of Portland, Oregon, established 1984. And it's good stuff. Got a six-pack at my local distribution outlet. So let's try the old Alchemy Ale here on Nerds United. Yep. That's the good stuff right there. Recording episode 34 from the room where all the magic happens. No. Maybe. I don't know. Just sitting on the bed with the dogs, just like we were in episode 33. Nothing special, nothing fantastic, but no guests, no questions to be answered to my knowledge. So we'll just go on out and get into the few topics. And this is more of those, I don't want to say obligatory, because I don't ever want to feel obligated to do this. It's why I enjoy podcasting, but felt like I owed you all an episode, so hope you're prepared for, I don't know, 10 more minutes of me, maybe 15, I don't know how long this thing's gonna go. The episodes by myself always seem to go shorter, naturally. I mean, nobody wants to hear me talk for too long. So let's jump into it. I definitely said that we would discuss and kick things off with Justice League Throne of Atlantis, the latest Justice League animated universe feature film, and picked up essentially where Justice League War stopped short or ended when it came out a year ago. And by the way, if you're thinking, are they going to do for Throne of Atlantis what they did for Justice League War, that's the plan, to get together with Justin and Joe, if he's in town, or Mike, and do one of those audio commentary tracks for the movie. So be on the lookout for that. It's going to be after March, or at least after February, March or later, because my good buddy Justin is getting married on the 14th, Valentine's Day. So kudos to him and his lovely soon-to-be bride. So looking forward to going down there and visiting with him and seeing him and Joe and Mike and all the other, members of the crew that used to run around together. And we all, it's one of those things. Again, life, you kind of grow up and you can't hang out and play video games till 4 in the morning anymore, which, yeah, it sucks, but you got to pay them bills. So back to Justice League Throne of Atlantis. I enjoyed this one just as much. And I know the joke has been Aquaman, ha ha ha, until you realize what Geoff Johns did for Aquaman when they rebooted the DC Universe with the New 52. And Aquaman, Arthur Curry, is kind of a badass now, and which is weird to say. You know, I believe it was Frank Caliendo in one of his stand-up comics, he was talking about the Super Friends cartoon from way back in the day. And even they poke fun on a Robot Chicken as well. But you've got Frank Caliendo as the voice, the voice guy on, you know, pretending to be the voice guy from the Super Friends, and he does it in a way that only Frank Caliendo can. But he says something like, "And I'm not going to hit the voice right. I'll try, but I'll fail." But it's something like, "Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice, Aquaman prepares a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because he can't do crap." You know, something like that. Obviously, I told you I wasn't going to do the voice justice. I don't want to hear it. Ted Knight did the voice of the Super Friends for a while. You know, the guy from Caddyshack and the Mary Tyler Moore Show. So, I don't want to hear your crap. Casey Kasem did the voice of Robin on Batman and Robin, and was also, of course, legendarily Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. So, I'm not those guys. I'm me. Anyway. It starts out, the beauty of Throne of Atlantis is you learn right away that, hey, Arthur Curry, and I'll throw this out as a spoiler, but at the same time, I'm just kind of giving you basic premise in plot information, and you definitely need to go rent it or buy it or, you know, check it out on iTunes or Amazon or however you acquire fine entertainment from the movie realm, I guess. And so you find out early on, you know, Arthur Curry does not know his background, does not know that he's the heir to the throne of Atlantis. And so he's in a bar because that's, you know, how many great movies start, right? The hero in a bar. You know, there's instead of in Justice League War, there was the threat of Darkseid and the boom tubes and the alien invasion. Now the threat is from the sea. It's from the deep. And you have Black Manta and Orm, who is the half-brother in this particular incarnation of Arthur Curry. You have them kind of plotting to take over Atlantis by faking an attack from surface, from the earthen dwellers, if you will, you know, from submarines and missiles and all that fun stuff. So you get to watch it unfold. I think that there's some terrific vocal performances in the movie. One of the things that you see, or that I saw early on Facebook, I think it was a comment on Facebook, they were talking about the voice of Shazam, a.k.a., you know, former Captain Marvel, Billy Batson, and then as Shazam, his voice doesn't change into the, "Well, I'm a superhero with the wisdom of Solomon," any type of thing, any big, explosive voice like that, is voiced by Sean Astin. And I don't remember that being a problem last year when Justice League War came out. You know, Sean Astin has kind of a softer, maybe higher-pitched voice. I mean, I'm a big fan of his. Like I said, my favorite movie of all time is Rudy, going back to the early 90s there. So I don't have a problem with the vocal casting. And what you're going to get out of that studio, out of Warner Brothers Animation, and as long as the name Andrea Romano is attached to it, that's fine. I've got no problem because she has been getting the best out of these voice actors for 30 years, maybe not 30 years, certainly close to it. I think you have to go back to Tiny Toons, certainly Batman the Animated Series, and just her as vocal director, you know, the performances that she gets out of people who are obviously not in makeup, they are, you know, maybe they're wearing a hat or something like that, just tremendous. And I think it's on Netflix. I know it's on Netflix, and I think it's called I Know That Voice, and it's all about, you know, the vocal actors of our time, and you know how even how they took over some of the legendary characters. Anyway, that documentary features John DiMaggio, Billy West, you know, a lot of those are the names that are off the top of my head. Mark Hamill is in it, of course, for his epic work as the Joker in Batman the Animated Series, and other voice actors who've played Batman, and you know, you see how one individual can play so many characters, and it's really, really fascinating. And I'm not even talking about, you know, Seth MacFarlane in all the roles that he does on Family Guy, but it just overall the absolute talent that a lot of these, because they're not doing an impersonation of someone, they are creating essentially a new character with their voice. So like I said, if Andrea Romano is attached to the project, I'm hooked, and I have no problem with the vocal castings. So from that standpoint, yeah, absolutely. It's worth your time to check out Justice League Throne of Atlantis. There's betrayal, there's intrigue, there's jealousy. What else is there? There's Batman. Nathan Fillion as Green Lantern, which I'll say, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, it's a role that he was born to play. Sam Witwer, you might remember him from Star Wars The Force Unleashed video games. He also had a recurring role on Season 8, I think Season 8 of Smallville, where he played the individual who I think ended up being turned into Doomsday. He's also on Being Human, which I think was a sci-fi series. I don't know. I watch it on Netflix from time to time. He's tremendous talent as well. What you may not know about the casting is that Rosario Dawson plays Wonder Woman, and that's, you know, that's pretty cool. It's not something I even picked up on in the first movie. You know, again in War, but she does a tremendous job as it makes a terrific Wonder Woman. So, just like I said, a lot of great vocal casting in this movie. Their IMDb page says this about the plot or synopsis. It says, when Atlantean troops assault Metropolis as revenge for the death of their king, the Queen seeks help from the Justice League to find her son, who's gone missing during the madness. And truth be told, that is a horrible synopsis. And like I said, Arthur Curry has no idea of his Atlantean heritage. So IMDb doesn't always get it right. Just a quick check. Jerry O'Connell plays Superman Clark Kent. Sam Witwer is Orm again, half-brother of Arthur Curry. Jason O'Mara is Batman, and I know a lot of people are thinking, no, sir, there's only one Batman, and his name is Kevin Conroy. Well, Jason O'Mara does a good job, and to their credit, you know, DC has created Batman to be this kind of standalone, I don't know, almost kind of a jerk, but in such a way that, you know, why is he not helping out the Justice League more? Because he's working on Gotham City. So, I enjoyed it. I watched it, earlier this week. I finally found time to sit down and watch it. I had it for about a week in the plastic case. I've got it ready to go. I can watch it Blu-ray, DVD, or in digital HD should I ever want to view it again, and it will be viewed just like Justice League War. You know, that's those are a couple of, you know, fallback, you know, standby movies that I'll certainly keep in the rotation. And just because they're animated, don't think that they're necessarily kid friendly. Obviously, parents out there, you are, you know, free to decide what, you know, your children see, but there's some more adult language in it. So keep that in mind, or you know, pre-watch it first, or If it's not important to you, then don't worry about it. So, that was the longest quick review of Throne of Atlantis I've ever seen or heard or recorded. Long story short, check it out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And if you haven't yet, watch Justice League War, because that's a nice little prelude to Throne of Atlantis. So, with that being said, mention how Batman has his eyes set on cleaning up Gotham, but in the TV show Gotham, he's not there yet. He's still little Bruce Wayne, and he's a punk, I'll say that, but he doesn't think that Jim Gordon, and this is from the latest episode just earlier this week, doesn't think Jim Gordon's going to get the job done as far as finding out who killed his parents. So in that regard, he's like, nah. He said, you promised, you let me down. The one witness that you had said she's lying, which, by the way, was Selina Kyle. Spoiler alert. He said, so I don't, you know, have any use for you, essentially. I'll find the killer on my own. So, you know, like I said, kind of spoiled just a little bit of that rich boy hangover. But Gotham's still a show that I'm enjoying. I'm not, maybe it's because I don't know. I mean, I'm enjoying the aspect of, you know, the history of the Penguin and being told that they're essentially or going to be setting up a Joker storyline before the end of this first season. And Carmine Falcone and Don Maroney and Harvey Bullock, just all of these classic characters. Edward Nygma has a prominent role. So I like seeing that, but I'm not enjoying Gotham as much as I am, say, The Flash or Arrow or Constantine, which I'm really, really enjoying Constantine. And Matt Ryan is John Constantine, in my opinion. If they ever... I know that DC caught some flack, DC Warner Brothers caught some flack from Stephen Amell, of course, who plays Oliver Queen / Arrow on the CW program Arrow. After they announced who would be cast or who was cast as the Flash for the cinematic universe, Stephen Amell took to social media and said, I'm not happy. You just put this one guy, Grant Gustin, out there. You know, he's the Flash, and he's been Flash for a week, and now you're essentially saying that he's not even going to get a chance or a sniff at the cinematic universe. They're not crossing over like the Marvel is with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So Stephen Amell was not happy. I will say this, if they ever make like a Justice League Dark movie, they better cast Matt Ryan or as John Constantine, or I don't think it'll work. We've seen a Constantine movie already, and no fault to Keanu Reeves. I've heard great reviews about his movie John Wick. I haven't seen it yet. Came out this past fall. They've already scheduled or greenlit or whatever they do in Hollywood, John Wick 2. It's been highly reviewed. I think at one point it had 100%. On Rotten Tomatoes, which I guess that's good. I guess the lower percent you get for something like that is bad. It's very good. I mean, a lot of praise, as I said, for John Wick. Pulling up its IMDb right now, and it's got a 7.2 out of 10 from almost 90,000 users. So that's not bad at all. For, you know, Keanu Reeves movie, and that's no knock on Keanu Reeves, but he kind of fell into that trap a little bit where the things he was doing seemed a bit formulaic. So I'm excited for John Wick. I hope to see it soon, within the next couple weeks, certainly. So the fact that that's been greenlit for another movie, you know, is good in my opinion. I'm not sure how we got onto John Wick. Constantine, yeah. That's how my mind works. But Matt Ryan is John Constantine, should always be John Constantine, be it on the small screen or the big screen. He plays the part well. They finally let him start smoking on the show, which is an integral part of the character. And so, yeah, on top of all that, while we're talking TV stuff, we got a trailer earlier this week, a little minute and a half or so teaser trailer for the Daredevil. Marvel's Daredevil series will hit Netflix all 10 episodes, eight episodes, 10 episodes, something like that, all at once. So you can sit there and binge watch Daredevil coming up next month, about a month from now, I think March 10th, 12th, something like that. But that's going to be just a great time to sit back and watch. It's going to be the first, as I mentioned before, of four Marvel Netflix series, including Jessica Jones, Luke Cage or Power Man, and Iron Fist, and they'll all culminate with the Defenders. But I'm pretty pumped for Daredevil. See it in a new light. Again, say we saw the teaser trailer for it earlier this week. I'm eagerly anticipating as we get to more and more and more content to be released, and then of course the show by itself. While we're talking about content that was released, we got a look at a trailer for Fantastic Four, which will be out the first weekend of August this summer. And a lot of people were, it's not something that I've been real excited about until I decided to be that guy who was exceptionally excited about it. And just on a whim, I see, so many people online on Facebook, you see the comments or, on Newsarama or something like that, they're just dogging this movie. And I was one of those guys for a long time. I said, wait a minute, let's see. And so I said, I did the full 180 and just really started to be a bit more gung-ho about the project. And now that I've seen the trailer, I'm down. I'm as excited as I have been for the Fantastic Four. I think it's going to be better than a lot of people are thinking it will be. You got to think it's probably drawing more from the Ultimate Universe of Marvel's. So if you're not familiar with that, and I'm not completely familiar with Marvel's Ultimate Universe, I know of the Ultimates, Ultimate Avengers, things like that. They got Chris Hemsworth's Thor look from the Ultimate Avengers, with the beard and things like that. So that part of it I am familiar with, but I probably need to do some more research on the Ultimate Fantastic Four. But that is, I think it's going to be better than a lot of people think it will be. And the thing they have to remember, and this is big, is it might be more sci-fi, rooted in science fiction, in space stuff, then it will be just straight comic book origin. So I think take all that with a grain of salt, don't judge too harshly before you've had a chance to see the movie. So I'll go see it for you, and then I'll tell you all about it, and hopefully we'll drum up some of interest from you, and we will go from there. Before we get out of here, what have I been reading? Man, haven't been reading many comics at all. My stack is still growing, and I just need to clear out a week and just knock it out. I mean, just get down to work, because they're coming up on things, and I have to avoid it. This is like the Injustice, stuff from a year and a half ago now. I got so far behind, I just had to take a few weeks and knock it out. That's what I got to do, just sit down with stacks of comics and start reading and get caught up, because this is getting ridiculous. So what I have been reading, though, however, is The Hobbit. And went and saw the movie in theaters, the Battle of the Five Armies, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Lord of the Rings movies. I enjoyed the first two Hobbits. I own them. I was rewatching them before we went and saw, and we went on New Year's Day. It's kind of our tradition. My wife and I will go check out a movie on New Year's Day and kind of relax and try to, in general, avoid people. So we went and watched it, and then came back, and I'd started reading The Hobbit. I'd hoped to have it read before we went to the show, so I started reading it in early December. I'm still working through it. It is tiring. And this is the first Tolkien work that I've read, and no disrespect to him, but I need a break. As I pull up my Kindle right now, I am on... I just had it. Where'd it go? It's a 250-page book with this, size font and things like that. And I believe that I am on page 169 of 250. And I tell you, I can't read more than four or five pages without wanting to fall asleep. It's taking a long time, but I am eager to finish chewing through it. And then I'll cleanse my palate with something quick and light and refreshing. Then I'm going to move on to start another kind of fantasy saga. Anyway, another fantasy series, if you will, by an author by the name of David, if I pronounce this incorrectly, diehard fans out there, I apologize, David Dalglish, who wrote the Half-Orcs stories, book one. I'll start that, which, by the way, is free on Kindle, The Weight of Blood. You can check that out free, and I think you can get the first three books for $3.99 or something like that. It's a heck of a bargain. Check out the free one first, of course. Make sure you like it. This comes highly recommended to me, so I'm going to read it, and we'll go from there. Maybe I'll get David on the show someday down the road. That's essentially where we're at this week. Like I said, look forward to visiting with Ross, and we'll have a new episode for you in Millpar next week. And because Ross also has a bit of a radio and broadcasting background, we are going to have an announcer off, which sounds weird. But we're going to take some of those classic, you know, like Sunday, or you know, announcer things like that. See, that I got to get over this cold. Because just doing that, just putting that in my voice, my throat's already scratchy. So I'll either have to get really healthy in the next 12 or so hours or take a bottle of water or something a little stronger with me and do some recording. But it's going to be a good time. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk, learn a little bit about Ross, obviously. And then we'll find out as much as we can about Barry versus the Apocalypse, including, which I've already shared the Kickstarter on the Facebook page, so you should see it on Twitter as well, including the Kickstarter and how you can help out the project. And, hey, cover art by friend of the show, fellow nerd Joe Dodd. So you can check that out as well. And Joe did brilliant covers, as you know he's typically going to do. And so check out on Kickstarter, just search for Barry versus the Apocalypse. You can see the video and check it all out. So that's all I've got for episode 34. A lot of checking out. I'm going to check out for this one, and we'll see you next week for episode 35 with Ross Cavins. And we'll see you next time. Lucky has been here. She's been kind of half whining for the last 10 minutes or so. Got any final thoughts, Lucky? You spotlight stealer. No, she's going to lick my hand and move on. Coco's at the end of the bed and she's dreaming, chasing squirrels. So that's it, episode 34, Nerds United, the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. Stay tuned, because after we visit with Ross in a couple weeks, we'll visit with Matt Horst, who has a couple of shows here on the network, and he's also getting into comic book writing as well. So that should cover us for February, and then we're getting into Comic-Con season, and I'm excited. I am pumped. Let's go make it a great 2015, and we'll see you on down the road.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.
Hey, Toby.
Hey, Greg.
So we've been doing this podcast network thing for a long time.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And we're finally starting now to get a little traction under us.
Yeah, a lot of people are jumping on board to have some shows.
Big shout out to some of our shows here. My 1-2-3 Cents, a wrestling podcast based off of a blog site by the same name. Kevin Huntsberger is running that one. And you and Craig are back with a sports podcast off of another blog that you started years back.
Yeah, Seat Above the Stands. And if you're into anything local, high school-related sports, we do that. National-related stuff, we do that. And arguing.
We really do that. So yeah, tune in.
Matt Horst has a gamer, and he's been updating that as his time allows. And he and his wife, Sierra and Zach, also have Popped Culture, and where they talk about books, and they talk about movies and action figures and all kinds of good stuff.
Absolutely. A lot of different areas covered. We can always have more, though.
And Nerd United.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I've been so grateful for everybody who's decided to join me on episodes of that show, and we're looking to keep going strong, and we're gonna have a busy 2015. We hope that everybody tunes in and takes the Jittery Monkey podcast along for the ride on iTunes, on Stitcher. You just gotta do a little search,
and it's simple. You subscribe to the network and you get every show, so you can listen to the ones you want and don't have to listen to the ones you're not interested in. And be sure to rate them, please, because when you rate them and leave a comment, it really does help. So do that as
well. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and leave your feedback. Make sure that you follow Jittery Monkey Podcast on Facebook, as well as Jittery Monkey on Twitter. Now, that's monkey with a U, because the other Jittery Monkey was taken and the other guy didn't want to free it up.
Nah.
But we're busy, we're active, and we appreciate everybody who's joined us along this far.